Thank you. It will be the main committee. Mr. Magwanishe will come in now and share. Just happy to see you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Dunkey. We're happy to be here.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Judge Cameron.
How are you, Mr. Magwanishe? It's nice to see you.
I'm okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are you still in Cape Town?
I'm in Johannesburg. My place of residence is in Johannesburg, and the JICS head office is in Pretoria.
Oh.
So I'm based here. I haven't been in Cape Town since the last time I saw you, actually.
Okay.
Last time I saw Mr. Janchi, who was chairing your subcommittee. That was the last time. We were there in late February, I think.
Late February. Okay. Then I'll be able to see you here this side. And I'm also in Pretoria. Okay. Excellent. Thank you very much, Jess.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we can start. Welcome to Justice Cameron and his team. We'll be getting a report on the annual performance plan and the quarter one report. Over to you, Judge Cameron.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and Mr. Deputy Chair. Members of the committee, honourable members of Parliament, I thank you all for the opportunity to present to you this afternoon, and I thank you also for the opportunity to be rigorously scrutinised by you. I have only a very few introductory comments, and then I'm going to hand over to the CEO, Mr. Mitha, whose presentation will be flighted by our Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Brevis. And I want to start off, Mr. Chair, by saying that it's been a really rough year for our country, for parliamentarians, for public leadership. It's been a rough year for prisoners with the terrible fear of contagion. It's been a rough year for the correctional personnel whom we require to guard our prisoners. And it's also been a rough year for JICS and its staff. As you know, Mr. Chair, we were initially excluded from the exempted personnel under the emergency regulations. This is something that we took up with the Minister and the Deputy Minister. We received a sympathetic response, and that was corrected. And within a few months, we were able to resume our visits. The concerns that we place before you, and that will be evident from the presentation which is about to begin, are the familiar concerns, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Overcrowding. I know that some of the members of your committee have said so in the meeting, that they have reservations about the presidential interventions. From my point of view, as inspecting judge, Mr. Chair, I greatly welcome both what the President did in December in terms of remission and what he did on the 8th of May this year to bring forward the parole dates of a large number of prisoners. And I'd welcome your members' reservations and your members' questions and challenges about that. The other main feature, of course, as for all of us in this disaster that struck our country, Mr. Chair, has been COVID. We at the Inspectorate had the gravest misgivings about the capacity of the correctional system to deal with COVID. I should say, Mr. Chair, that our worst nightmares have not been fulfilled. That does not mean that we have any reason for self-satisfaction or for complacency. No one in this country has. There's too much work to be done and too much that is still not fixed. But it didn't have the completely catastrophic effect that we feared. We thought there would be mass outbreaks in every prison, not unreasonably, because that's what happened in some areas in the Philippines, in South America, even in North America. That did not happen here. Another concern, Mr. Chair, that we persist in and that you'll see from Mr. Miss's presentation is the fall off in mandatory reporting. As you know, the statute requires the correctional personnel structure to make reports to us on the use of force, on isolation, on mechanical restraints, and of course on deaths. And because of systemic issues, there's been a marked downturn in mandatory reporting. At the same time, there have been disturbing indications of increasing violence, Mr. Chair, and I would be failing in my duty as inspecting judge if I did not draw to your attention and to the attention of your members that we are really worried, Mr. Chair. There have been incidents in Durban Westville, continuing incidents in St. Albans, incidents elsewhere, and Mr. Misser will expand on those. We fear that some of that level of violence is manageable were the systems to be corrected. For example, there is chronic dysfunction in the physical state of the prison's infrastructure. That should be remedied if we had a competent and responsive Department of Public Works. We believe that a number of those problems could be alleviated. Another area, Mr. Chair, and which we have persistent worries and we draw them to your and to your members' attention again, is the under-provision of education and of rehabilitation opportunities. Those are the main worries that we have. We also have in our presentation an update for you on the independence of JICS. We are now part of the internationally regulated OPCAT, the optional protocol against torture and other forms of abuse. We are under the umbrella for that purpose of the South African Human Rights Commission. And we are an independently functioning part of the OPCAT national preventive mechanism. There are various things happening there that may be touched upon in due case. We have a business case to argue for our autonomy within the civil service, regardless of any legislation or constitutional court outcome. We have a draft bill, which we will in due course. I debated this with Mr. Dainty earlier this year, where he emphasized to me quite rightly that you as the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee should be our first port of call when we are thinking of proposing legislation. And we will in due course be submitting with due respect to your scrutiny and oversight there. And then of course, Mr. Chair, we have the Constitutional Court. We went to court in great expectation on the 2nd of March. It's now 7 months later. 7 months and 1 week, we still don't have a judgment. It's a judgment seeking to confirm the order of Judge Botswana in the Cape High Court, where she struck down certain provisions of the Correctional Services Act because they were insufficiently protective of JICS's independence. Mr. Chair, to round off now, I would like to say again, without self-satisfaction or complacency, that we have a good interaction with the executive. I would like to state my impression that the Deputy Minister, Nkosi Holomisa, has a real interest in making an impact on his portfolio. And we've had a number of meetings on parole. A well-functioning parole system is important to the public. We had some instances this year, deplorable, and some members of your committee rightly have expressed grave disquiet about the way in which likely recurrent criminals were released on parole. On the other hand, the granting of parole when earned to appropriate inmates is also an absolutely vital portion of the functioning of the correctional service. If you don't have proper parole, you don't give anyone any hope. So we have been pushing. We have the support of the Deputy Minister. We are in an independent position from him as well. We are going to push him to get his personnel to get the system functioning better. The head of our investigations directorate, Mr. Leonard D'Souza, who's a very experienced officer in JICS, has we sent out a memo setting out the problems of the parole system. We had a meeting with the Deputy Minister where very experienced parole board members set out considerable problems, including with their terms of employment and their terms of service. And we are pushing the Deputy Minister to fix all of those, to get the parole boards working, to get the parole board oversights working. So that's so much from me, Mr. Chair. I thank you and Mr. Dainty, your deputy, and I thank all the members for listening. We are looking forward to being scrutinized and to being questioned by you. But with your permission, Mr. Chair, I will now make way for Mr. Missa to do the main presentation.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Judge Cameron.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair, and good afternoon, Honorable Members. I'm just awaiting my colleague, Eddie Brewers, to flight the presentation. We've prepared a presentation which we shared with all the members. It's contained in our first quarter and also the fourth quarter reports that have already been submitted. Can we flight the presentation, please? Eddie, are you with us? Conducted, as you most aware of, due to the nationwide lockdown that was put in place by the Honorable State President. Those five that were not conducted is contained on page 9 of our report, and they were Joburg Female, Atridgeville, Palsmore Max, Forces, and Peter T. But what I can say is that on the 26th of June this year, during the lockdown, and once JICS was given permission and permitted to conduct its services, Atridgeville was conducted on the 26th of June, and Johannesburg Female was conducted on the 2nd of July, respectively. So whilst this lockdown was in place, JICS was active, trying to ensure that a catch-up plan was put in place to ensure that all inspections that were not conducted were dealt with accordingly. But let's just look at, reflect again in this fourth quarter. Oversight visits were also conducted by Justice Olivier, one of our esteemed judges from the Northern Cape Bench. He had conducted oversight visits to Kuruman, Uppington, Da'ar, and these were done on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of March this year. This is also contained on page 10 of our quarterly report. You'll also find on page 11, our inspecting judge, Justice Edwin Cameron, had inspected Zonderwater on the 29th of January this year, and he'd actually visited Medium A and Medium B with some colleagues that accompanied him to conduct this inspection. Now, if one has to look at quarter 1 versus quarter 4, 36 scheduled inspections were supposed to be undertaken during that period. Due to the lockdown, you could see we only conducted 7 out of those 36. 29 of them could not have been conducted as through the restrictions, since no physical visits could be done to centers during that time. There were no critical interventions identified though, although a catch-up plan and a revisited inspection plan was implemented to ensure that all outstanding inspections were conducted. We can find this on Table 2, contained on page 10 and 11 of our Quarter Report 1. 9 inspection reports were finalized during this quarter, and 8 were rated satisfactory, whilst 1 of them were identified to be of a good standard. And this is Koti Mampuru CMAX, which was identified to be in a good standard. You can find this on Table 3 on page 11 of that report. Seven that was conducted, Kosi Mampuru was conducted, CMAX, for Yenekeng was conducted, Makwasi was conducted, OD was conducted, Devon, Standerton A and B was also conducted during this restricted time, which was 7 out of the 36. I may also add that the inspecting judge, Justice Edwin Cameron, conducted a covert inspection on the 5th of May 2020, accompanied by some senior members of JIGS, also in the accompaniment of the National Commissioner at the Johannesburg Medium A on the 5th of May 2020. Next slide, please. I'd like to move to investigations, which is also emanating out of our inspections. Amongst the investigations that were conducted in the fourth quarter, 15 ongoing investigations were conducted. And here you would find that JIGS takes approximately 90 days to conduct, finalize, draft a preliminary report and a conclusion report specifically in relation to those investigations conducted. Now, what I can add here is that you could find this on page 11 on table 2 of the report of the list of investigations that have been conducted during January and March 2020. But what is of interest, during this COVID period, we were engagement with the DPP's office in KZN, and on the 17th of September 2020, JIGS was informed by Advocate E. Zungu from the DPP's office of KZN that the homicide death of inmate Ronnie Tube, also known as Vulindlela Edwin Kunene, which occurred on the 9th of August 2009, inquest was held on 2012. This matter has been decided to be reopened by the National Director of Public Prosecutions with the interventions of the inspecting judge. This matter is placed before a formal inquest, which is to be held on the 9th to the 11th of December 2020 this year. So this is some of the interactions which JIGS also engages with the National Director of Public Prosecutions together with the South African Police Services to assist in finalizing some of long outstanding investigations. If one looks at the first quarter, which was obviously in the lockdown period, only 6 investigations were conducted. The final reports in some of these instances are still outstanding. Most on-site investigations commenced actually from the 1st of June, when JIGS was permitted and allowed into centers in the new relaxed regulations and directions issued by DCS. 8 investigations were conducted over quarter 4 versus to quarter 1. This you could find also in table 5 on page 12 of our reports. Maybe I'd like to move to the next slide, which is slide 6. This deals with another area of competence within JIGS, and this is complaints that have been registered either internally, externally, and in most instances, family members, and even some instances, honorable members of the chair of the portfolio also report some complaints to us, which we investigate. Let us look at the fourth quarter. 1st January to 31st March, you could see 120 complaints were received. Again, the number is very minimal. This is due to the non-functioning MIS systems within DCS, as already alluded to by the inspecting judge. Although they have a new system in place, which is the e-correctional system, which is currently being rolled out and tested in a pilot fashion, and we hope that this area could be enhanced, especially in reporting on mandatory matters, which I'm going to deal with in the next slides. Let us look quickly at the most prevalent ones. Transfers was 24, assaults on inmates, officials on inmates were 20, and there it stands out again as a hot potato, a parole issue. 16 of them out of this 120 were parole-related matters, and as already alluded to by the inspecting judge, this matter is an ongoing discussion with a high-level discussion on addressing the issues within the parole system. You find in quarter one, similarly, 7 matters out of the 28 was also parole-related matters, and these matters are all being currently addressed as I talk to you on ongoing meetings with the inspecting judge, the Honorable Deputy Minister, and also the Justice Shiraz Desai has also participated on these platforms. You'd also find complaints referred to our regional offices. 67 was referred to our regions in quarter 4 versus 16 that was deferred in quarter one in order for our respective regions to deal with them hands-on at the coal face. I'd like to move to slide 7. This is an interesting slide. This is a slide that talks about all the unnatural deaths that occurs within the places of confinement and of incarceration. Here you'd find again, can we move to slide 7 please, Eddie? Unnatural deaths. DCS is in the process of developing a new reporting system as part of the e-corrections system. The interim and alternative manual reporting system is currently being developed, as I already spoke to you about, which is the e-correction system. But let's look at this table. You can find in quarter 4, 18 unnatural deaths registered versus quarter 1, 20 unnatural deaths registered. Now let's unpack this quickly so that we could understand where JEET comes in, dealing specifically with these matters. If one looks at the alleged homicide, which is bullet 1, official on inmate, those two matters were actually from Virginia, which occurred round about the 18th of February 2020. It is within our CMR region, Central Management Region. It was a gang-related matter, which occurred on the 1st of February 2020. The inmate died in hospital on the 13th February 2020. So these are the matters that JEET investigates, and you'll find more detail on this in our annual report, which we're going to present to you shortly and in time. Maybe the second one under there is the St. Albans matter. It occurred in Medium A on the 21st of February 2020. Actually, this incident occurred on the 17th of February 2020. The inmate stabbed an official, a DCS official. And what had happened was they took this inmate, DCS officials, together with EST, they used force on the inmate, and who died shortly thereafter. We are also investigating this matter. So I can go on. If you look at the suicide by hanging, 5, Imbangweni, 9th of January this year, Koti Mampuru, 14th January this year, East London, Medium B, 29th January this year, Peter Maritzburg, Medium A, 10th February this year, Peter Maritzburg again, Medium A, 10th March this year. All these matters are registered amongst the 45 investigations conducted by JEET over the year, which is contained in our annual report, and more details is also shown there. We are going to release the annual report electronically as soon as we finalize the presentation of these quarter reports to you, so it should be in your box by tomorrow morning. So let's move to the next slide. The next slide deals with natural deaths that has occurred within the places of confinement. This is contained on slide 8 of our presentation. I'm sure you have it already, but it will appear now on the board. There you go. 103 natural deaths were reported during the 1st of January to the 31st of March, which is quarter 4. And amongst these, 24 were registered as natural causes other. Now, one might wonder, what is this natural causes other? This is how DCS actually records these deaths when there is no outcome of a post-mortem or a determination of how the natural, DCS categorizes this and includes this inclusive of an unknown cause where the death of the deceased could not be determined at the time. So this is where it's placed into what we would call causes of death, natural death other. You'd find the highest ones were in Gauteng, 33 of them. Whilst in the first quarter, you'd find there have been a slight increase of 8 that have also passed away during this time, and they are also documented and registered amongst our registers and books on each death that has occurred, and we have them off record that we could present them to you if so required. So the highest number there again was 20. Gauteng had the highest again of 51, and only 3 instances where deaths indicated to be COVID-related was registered by DCS during this period in quarter 1. This is contained on page 14 of our quarter report. This covers slide 8. I'd like to move to slide 9, which deals with segregation. There we go. Segregation in the quarter 4, this is contained on table 7 of page 14 of that report, and the statistics on incidents of segregation is covered on that page, page 14. There were 733 instances of segregation reporting system, which heads of centers report on a manual reporting system through our regional structures up to national level. Gauteng province had 277, and the lowest was Eastern Cape with 11. But what is interesting, if you look at during the COVID lockdown, nationwide lockdown period, 1 April to 30 June 2020, our quarter one, yet 100 patients were reported. And what is interesting, Mr. Chair, is that Western Cape province had 312, and the lowest were found to be in Eastern Cape with 36. Contained in Table 10 on our segregations, covered per category. As prescribed by a medical officer, meaning that these were based because medical reasons required them to be segregated. Now that ties in and syncs with our pandemic during this time, and there you would find 288 instances that occurred under that clause. 91 of them were found in KZN, 88 of them were in the Western Cape, 60 was in Gauteng, in line with our COVID outbreak. So whilst the highest was in terms of Section 30, subsection 1D, which dealt with violence or is threatened with violence, and there we found 110 instances in KZN specifically. So these areas, especially in the COVID period, you'd find that the number of segregations actually increased by almost 300 that you'd find from the quarter before. I'd like to move to mechanical restraints, and this is dealt with on page 10 of our slides. Next slide, please. Mechanical restraints on quarter four, Honorable Chair, you'd find this also on page 14 of that quarter report covered in table 8, where the statistics on mechanical restraints is actually displayed and contained. 18 instances of mechanical restraints were reported. Gauteng had 9. The biggest factor of the use of mechanical restraints was 11, which was the safety of others and safety of obviously the inmates. So this was one of the reasons where mechanical restraints were used amongst 18 of them, 11 of them was for those reasons. Versus in quarter one, which is contained on our table 11, on page 16 of that report, 14 mechanical restraints were reported, Gauteng and Western Cape having the highest numbers, which was 5. And the biggest factors once again here were for the use of mechanical restraints was 6, was for the prevention of the damage to property and the safety of any other person. So this covers the issues on mechanical restraints. Let's go to slide 11. This talks about the use of force. Section 32 of the Correctional Services Act is one of our concerned areas of JIGS. Let's look at quarter four. This is contained on page 14 and 15. There you'd find 123 instances of use of force were reported to JIGS during that quarter. CMR, which is our Bloemfontein or the Northern Cape and Free State region, coupled with the Western Cape Management region, had the highest number of 40 instances. The biggest factor here again, use of force, 110 of them was for the defense of another person in terms of section 32, subsection 1C, that was the subsection 2. Let's look at quarter one. This is covered on table 12, page 16 of our quarter report. 237 cases of use of force was registered during this COVID-19 pandemic period. Now, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Inspecting Judge, you could see an increase of 114 instances from quarter to quarter. Now, this is a concern. Here you'd find 237 cases were reported to us. Once again, Free State Northern Cape stands out as a hot potato. 118 instances reported in the Free State area. The biggest factor, once again, Honorable Chair, was the defense of other persons. 179 instances were in terms of Section 32(1)(c)(2). And may I add, Honorable Chair, on the 12th and 13th of August this year, during the lockdown periods, esteemed colleagues from the inspectorate unit visited Mangaung and conducted a thematic inspection report, investigation and inspection, specifically on the use of force and violence in that center. So this report is almost in its final stages and should be released shortly, and it covers the concern that was brought to JIG's attention specifically with the use of force at the Mangaung Correctional Center. This report will be released in due course by the inspecting judge. I'd like to move to part B of our presentation and our quarter reports. Honorable Chair, honorable members, this deals with the management of our regions. On slide 13, you'd find the complaints handling management system, where complaints are received via our ICCB system. This ICCB facilitates the resolutions of these complaints that were reported to them via the inmates or families. The visitors' committee coordinators play an active role and engage with ICCBs and also heads of centers to ensure that all these complaints brought to their attention are resolved amicably. A number of complaints that have been registered during the quarter 4, 1 January to 31 March, with 7,189, and those finalized with 5,834 of them. There are 1,355, which is an ongoing process, which in some instances are referred to our visitors committee to be dealt with accordingly at the visitors committee with the presence of all stakeholders like Legal Aid South Africa, South African Human Rights Commission, the judiciary, the NPA, the public protector, etc., the Department of Home Affairs are all present at our visitors committee to deal with all unresolved complaints. Now, the top categories in this area, Mr. Chair, number one stands out, healthcare. It stands out very strongly, 502 instances were reported during this period. You'd find, followed by that closely, most inmates are looking for legal representation, 473, and thereafter going down the line, you'd find conditions, 323, followed by appeal matters, once again, it's a legal issue, 287, which is tied up with the South African legal aid, and also followed again with assault on inmate, or on assault on official on inmate at 121. This covers quarter four. When we look at quarter one on slide 14, once again you'd find that the ICCBs try to facilitate these resolutions of complaints and try to resolve them. During this period, 174, again, it's the lockdown period, strict lockdown, there was no face-to-face interactions between ICCBs. ICCBs were actually barred from entering due to the regulations of COCTA, read with the regulations, directions of DCS. It was only relaxed on 1 June, and that was 1 month which occurred, which was 174 versus those that were finalized with 43, currently pending 131, and 15 of them, as alluded to, have been referred to our visitors committee on unresolved complaints that have been referred. Once again, you'll find the top categories down there. Again, assault inmate on inmate during this period. They fight amongst themselves. 55 instances, and the statistics shows. Maybe I've moved to slide 15, which covers our visitors committee. It's a statutory obligation of JIGS in terms of Section 94 of the Correctional Services Act. And you'd find this contained on our page 27 and 28 on quarter four, where JIGS is obliged to, we were obliged to suspend all our VCs during this time because of the lockdown regulations that took effect with effect from the 26th of March. You'd find somewhat a progress dealt with in quarter one. We then innovated, we tried to work within the new normal, and then we started having our meetings on virtual platforms like the one that we currently seated in. And that's how we've managed to deal with 27 out of the 39 planned VCs for that quarter. And the number of complaints that have been referred to these to a visitors committee were 59, of which 7 of them are still pending and should be resolved soon. The next slide is quite an interesting slide, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Inspecting Judge. This is state patients. It is also a very sore thumb for all of us, including DCS. If you would look at quarter four, we had 155 of declared state patients. Sentenced males were 151, sentenced females was 1, 3 remand males and 0 females. Versus quarter 1, which is 1st April to 30 June, 168 instances were recorded. 54 of them were male sentenced, 1 was a female sentenced, 112 were remand females, whilst 1 remand female, giving us a total of 168. Now, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, I've addressed this portfolio on many occasions before, that this area of declared state patients requires urgent attention. We are trying our very best at addressing the concerns at our various VC meetings, which is our Visitors Committee meetings, where we've engaged the Department of Health, various other stakeholders to assist us in trying to resolve this matter. But it seems as if this continues month on month, that we continuously carry on these states, declared state patients within. They are absolutely dangerous, firstly, to themselves. They are dangerous to officials, and they are also dangerous to other inmates. So it is absolutely a no. This is a point that we need to really look on. Somehow or the other, maybe engage the portfolio on health, or maybe engage the MECs on health to take this matter forward to assist us in trying to get these members or these persons out of our places of incarceration. Another slide, slide 17, is also very interesting. This slide deals with non-nationals that's incarcerated within our places of confinement. And here you'd find in quarter 4, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members and Honourable Judge, during quarter 4, a total number of national, non-nationals that were incarcerated were 16,139, of which sentenced were 8,573 versus the remand detainees, 7,566. We can see the comparisons, which versus to quarter 1, page 30 of our report, contained in table 21. Here you would find sentenced inmates were 7,122 versus the remand detainees 6,509, totaling 13,631. What is of interest, Honourable Chair, you could find that there is a reduction of 2,508 from quarter 4 to quarter 1, which gives you 2,508 inmates. And this can be ascribed to specifically the presidential remission on COVID-19 and also the intervention of the Immigration Department within the Department of Home Affairs, trying to attend to the deportation of some of these foreigners that needed to be deported and how it affected us during this lockdown period. But we have been reporting continuously on non-nationals month on month going forward, quarter for quarter. Honourable Chair, I'd like to move to slide 18. I'll be failing my duty not to report on the COVID-19 matters, specifically in quarter 1. This table, you'll see it on table 22, on page 31. It actually covers the following, the statistics of infections and deaths of officials and inmates that were reported to JIGS as at 30th of June. This was during the lockdown period, Honourable Chair. You would find that a total of 2,551 incidents of COVID-19-related reporting was dealt with up to and including quarter 1 report. But what is of interest, and I'd like to share this with you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, you would find that as at 6th of October, that is yesterday, 2020, the total positive cases within the DCS environment is 7,171. Officials that were tested positive, 4,448. Inmates tested positive, 2,723. Recoveries, 6,925. Deaths of officials, 69. Deaths of inmates, 56. What does that leave us with? It leaves us with active cases of 246. And if one can calculate this, this actually equates to one infected person, approximately one infected person at a given center. So this is the current status of the as-is of the COVID-19 related reporting to you, Honourable Chair. Maybe the next slide, slide 19, is also of interest and covers the COVID-19 reporting. This is to deal with the special COVID-19 parole dispensation. And as promulgated in May 2020 by the Honorable President, authorizing the advancements of paroles, you would find in this table 11,268 that were identified, 2,731 were released as of 30th June, still to be considered were 8,537. And this was up to 17 July. But what is of importance, Honorable Chair, is to inform you that there is a continuous weekly meeting dealing with this aspect. And I can give you the live information. As of 30th of September, we have 12,756 that have been now identified, 9,239 has been released, and which 3,559 is still to be considered as an ongoing project on a week-to-week basis, chaired by the head of security from DCS to deal with this matter, acting CDC in Tetwa. Maybe I'd like to just cover our human resources to you now, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I'd move to slide 21, which covers part C of our human resources matter. It's covered on pages, coincidentally, pages 32 of quarter 4 and pages 32 of quarter 1. In both these quarters, Honorable Chair, the fixed approved organizational structure of JIGS sits at 86 staff, 86. We had 82 positions filled, of which 4 positions were vacant, which equates to a 4.65 vacancy rate. These positions was a level 7, it was a level 8, a case officer in complaints, a level 11, a deputy director in support services, and a level 13, which was the director of legal services. Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, I'd love to announce that the Director of Legal Services have already been occupied with effect from 1st June, and this position has been filled by my esteemed colleague, Madam Ingema. And also, the Deputy Director of Support Services have also been successfully filled with effect from the 1st of April 2020 by Madam Lupuwana. So this is the position. We have now currently 2 positions running in this circle. You'd find our ICCV program. We have 234 positions recorded, of which 211 is filled. And here you'd find we are migrating the old ICCVs into the new ICCV program as adopted with effect from 1 April 2018. This is in line with the new public service and determined and job evaluated by the Department of Public Service and Administration, who assisted us with this process. We currently have in this quarter 21 vacancies, and as I speak to you, there is a vigorous engagement in filling the all outstanding positions of ICCVs as I speak to you now. The teams and the regions are currently busy with this project. Maybe on slide 22, this gives you more details of statistics. In terms of our employment equity, you'd find males of 134 versus females of 170, totaling 304 on our books as an entire workforce, which equates to 44% of males and 56% versus females. What is of interest in quarter one, and I need to announce this here, is that a transfer of the Director of Management Regions, our esteemed colleague, Michael Masondo, has been transferred to the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development with effect from 1 June 2020. He's opted to join the department after finalizing his qualification, legal qualification, and his transfer was successfully accepted. I need to also indicate to you, Honorable Chair, that the position has already been advertised. The closing date was the 7th of August. We've approved a constituted panel in terms of the selection and recruitment process for this specific post. It's ongoing. The interviews are to be held on the 14th of October 2020, and I can also announce that the inspecting judge constitutes part of this panel and participates in this selection process. Honorable Chair, on a sad note, I'd like to also announce the passing away of one of the esteemed colleagues within the Judicial Inspectorate for Correctional Services, and that is Umesh Raga, who was diagnosed shortly with cancer during the COVID period. He succumbed on the 21st of September this year, and he was put to rest on the 21st of September. This is very sad indeed, and a great loss to the Jeeks family. He served the organization for more than 20 years. Let's move to our finances, and I'll cover this on page 24. Here, again, Honorable Chair, you'd find this covered on page 34 of our quarter four report and on page 36 of our quarter one report. Our budget allocation, you could see there's an increase of 4,249,000 rand, which actually equates to approximately 5% deviation of an increase, which is normally the norm and on deviations by National Treasury, and this was our increase. This was the money that was allocated for our performance cycle 2019-2020, which ended on the 31st of March, which is on our quarter four. Here you would find our expenditure was 66 million. We had an available budget at the end of that cycle of approximately 10 million. Mostly the underspending was under the compensation of employees, specifically within the program of the ICTV, which was delayed in filling of some of these positions. And also exiting of the old ICTVs on the program. You'll find in quarter one, here, out of the 81 million budget, our expenditure as of 30th June was sitting at 16 million, and our expenditure including commitments was 16,979,000, with a further commitment of 790,000. So here you find the reasons for our underspending, again, is 4.15% on SCOA items, which is compensation of employees. And the majority of the underspending, Honorable Chair, you would find it under goods and services, 15.75%, which have been impacted by the nationwide lockdown. But what we've done, we've innovated, we've restructured, we've revisited our budgets, and we've restructured our spending trend. So we've identified that 7 vehicles that needed to be replaced within the Jeeks fleet, those procurements are currently being taking place. And mind you, Honorable Chair, all these processes have been signed off by the National Commissioner on approval for the shifting of the respective funds. The National Commissioner has approved all these spending trends as I speak to you about. We have also set money aside for the furniture, for the new office accommodation for Jeeks head office in Pretoria, coupled with our Northern Management Region to also be accommodated in that premises. Which then leads me to slide 25 that deals with our properties and facilities management. You'd find we have offices in the Western Cape, Cape Town office, which is partly our head office, together with our Western Cape regional office housed there. We have an office in Bloemfontein, an office in Centurion, which is the Northern Management Region, and we have an office in KZN, which deals with KwaZulu-Natal region. I must also indicate we have an office in East London, which is currently housed, and thanks to the Minister once again for assisting us and the DG of the Department of Justice for allowing Jeeks to accommodate a space, office space, within the East London Magistrates Court to accommodate the judicial inspectorate in the interim pending the finalization of securing a permanent home for the Jeeks officers in the Eastern Cape. Mr. Chair, that leads me to part E. It's our communications matter. It's our media strategy issues. You would find in this slide, slide 27, media analysis and internal communications that took place. It's covered on page 28 of that report. It's January to March, where you'd find the statistics. You'd also find in quarter one, it's canvassed on page 41, all the media analysis and internal communications that took place statistically in this bar graph. Maybe the last slide is of interest. Here on slide 28, you'd find that all these areas that have been dealt with by our communications division during quarter four and quarter one, it has been a huge task to communicate with our entire staff remotely. So we innovated, we used WhatsApp platforms, we used video packagings, the judge had done video screens, screen dumps, we've done various news flashes, we had major projects running. So all this was taken care of during this lockdown period, We've dealt with all these areas. You'll find them listed here. WhatsApp activities or activations for all staff. And maybe a challenge is still trying to find a way with our website, but there is some progress with regards to that. And maybe I would leave that for the next time when we meet to give you further information on our website. Honorable Chair, honorable members, this brings me to the end of my presentation. I'd like to take the opportunity to thank you.
Now, thank you very much, Mr. Nisa. Can you remove the slide so that I can be able to see people who are raising hands? Thank you very much. Let me start by also on behalf of the committee expressing our condolences to the Raga family and to the Jakes family for your loss. Our prayers and our thoughts are with you during this difficult time.
Sorry, dear. Can you make your presentation? Yes, dearest. How beautiful. I think I'll be finished within a half an hour.
Judge, can you mute? Thank you very much. When we have spent 20 years with a person, I think it's a very painful period for yourself as the Jakes family and to the family. So please accept our deepest condolences. I have noted the following hands, Honorable Horn, Honorable Mfuke, Honorable Self, Honorable Mola,
My hand is up, Chair.
Honorable Nivold Johans.
Yeah, my hand was also up on the list. I don't know if you see the list, Swart. Yeah.
Honorable Swart. Honorable Liako. In that order. Let's start with Honorable Horn.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you. A word of thanks to Jakes for the presentation. I have only two issues I want to raise. It is reported in respect of the inspections undertaken as part of the National Inspection Plan that in none of the two quarters under discussion, any critical interventions, as it is called, were identified during the inspection. Given the fact that these inspections seem to form one of the core functions of JIGS, Chair, I would like to ask whether the inspections take place on the basis of appointments and prior notice, or whether they are undertaken without notice. And then for the sake of understanding specifically the outcomes, what is deemed as critical interventions identified, and what would then be non-critical interventions, and whether the committee could be appraised as to what the typical type of non-critical, if there was, interventions were that were identified during these inspections. That's the one issue. Then in respect of the independent visitors, I would just like to inquire whether, and I know it's not necessarily under discussion now, whether in the period after the regulations were amended to allow for the independent visitors, measures were put in place for, let's say, a bigger presence on the side of the independent visitors to deal with matters which inmates could not report to them during the time they were precluded from being visitors to the correctional centres. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mpuke.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks, Judge Cameron and the team. I would like to commend you for the presentation. Very professional, having A, B, C, D until to the end. I must say that I admire that. I want to start on the issue of the property management. And I was asking myself on the explanation that in Eastern Cape, you've been assisted to be in the department. And I'm asking myself, can't you go the same route? Because if you can think about the spending of 276,000, you know, it's a lot. And you look at what you are still planning on the list that you are having in Bloemfontein, Cape Town, Centurion and Durban. And I want to hear what is it that you are planning to do, because it doesn't look like the Department of Public Works is really assisting. The second part will be on the issue of something that really disturbed me when I was listening about the 20 unnatural deaths were recorded, but two recorded were said to be medication overdose. I'm asking myself, medication overdose, is it not suicide? Why would we say medication overdose? Is it this person did that purposely, or is how it was reported by the autopsy or what? Because I don't think any other person can really want to hear a thing like that as a family. Now, the next part, it will be on the issue of do you have any other mechanism or intent introducing so that you can check the complaints that have been given into DCS? Because I have a thinking or a belief that not all of them are received, as I have been following. And the other one is on the IT services. Additional funding that you requested, how much is it? And did you get a reply on it? How are you going to be assisted? And on the issue of the parolees, those that were approved by the president, which we know that there have been an outcry in a number of areas. How many do you know or have you heard about them, or have you seen that they are rearrested? Because there are also allegations that in case that and those women that are killed in the same spot, there might be a serial killer because it has been there even years ago. The last one, it will be on the declared estate patients. That needs attention. I agree with you. Even the last time you reported on that. But the question is, why will you have a thinking that maybe the Department of Health must help in this, when you have the prison health workers that can deal with that better because they are trained? I suggest that maybe we get a detailed report to understand why are you having such a challenge when prison and where they are is for rehabilitation. And is there any program that makes that assists them to contact with the families so that some of them can be out of the situation and be able to integrate better? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable James Bell.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the inspecting judge and his team. I'd also like to associate myself with you on your comments about the late Umesh Raga. I always found him very, very helpful indeed, and I'm very sorry to hear he's passed. I'd like to raise a couple of issues. Firstly, the judge talked about parole, and he said that Mr. D'Souza had developed a document which was in discussion with the Deputy Minister. I wonder whether that document could be shared with us, because I think parole is an issue that we need to delve into much more deeply than we have done so during this term. The second thing that the judge said is around mandatory statutory reports. And he said that there was systemic problems in the reporting system. He has reported that before, but that he also referred to increasing violence. Now, if you look at the complaints that have been received through JECS or to JECS, either the complaints received nationally or the complaints received by the independent correctional services, correctional center visitors, you will see that there's actually a pitiful amount of violence reported. The assaults on officials on inmates, 20, or three during the second quarter. If you look at the complaints handled in the regions, it's 141 and 121 respectively. Those, to my mind, would not possibly be accurate. And this brings to mind how reliable are the mandatory reporting that gets given to the JECs, how much credibility do these reports have. And then finally, in respect to the slide on the visitors committee, I noticed during the first quarter, despite the fact that the lockdown only happened towards the end of March, the visitors committee meetings were vastly reduced. Is there a particular reason for that? And if so, what is it? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Sir, Honourable Mola.
Thank you very much.
Honourable Mola, your bandwidth is low. We can't hear you.
Yes, we welcome the presentation from JECs. Okay.
You're better.
I'm better now.
Yes.
Yes, you know, I think as we welcome the presentation from JECs, I just have some few remaining issues. Some have been covered by my colleagues. The first of which is that there is a reported underspending on the compensation of employees. And the most basically that is caused by the fact that there are a number of vacancies that have not been filled. So maybe if you can be briefed on the reasoning behind the vacancies not having been filled, is it COVID related, and what is the recovery plan to such? The second one, there are two cases that are reported of misconduct and fraud against ICE services. I think one of them is that they smuggled the contraband or something. But there is no much sufficient information that is provided with regard to those cases in the report in terms of saying this is what actually happened. The report only says misconduct, fraud, smuggling of a contraband, but there is no sufficient briefing on what really actually happened. The last two, Chair, is an issue one which has been covered by Honorable Mofokeng of the property management. I agree with her fully in that the continuous placing of property has proven itself to be positive. We've been dealing with this matter in a number of departments that fall within our jurisdiction. So maybe it's just a matter of pleading with them to use less on renting where they are able to use a government property where it may be lended to them or it may have less rent to them. They must continue using those endeavors to ensure that we were in a cost-cutting mood, all of us. The last of which is the issue of there's been a continuous complaint by JECs against the behavior of the DCS personnel of refusing to give proper reports and concealing some of the information, which renders the legal obligation of JECs a bit not effective. So maybe if they can update us just shortly if there's been an improvement in that regard. Because we have been raising both in the portfolio committee meetings and in the subcommittee meetings the issue with DCS of their personnel refusing to give reports on time and proper reports and all that and all that. So I just want them to brief if there is an improvement or the status quo still remains. There is serious defiance from the DCS personnel still today. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Swart.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Judge Cameron, and for your colleagues. And again, please accept our condolences as well on the passing of Mr. Racha from the Jigs family. Raga, our thoughts and condolences are with you. I also recall him with fondness. And then could I just, Judge, your introductory comments, I think, are very valid. And the issue relating to the court case, Concord case, Chairman, we might need to raise this when we engage with the Chief Justice. Because as we know, according to the norms and standards, judgments should be delivered within 6 months unless there are good reasons. And as the judge pointed out, the Jigs judgment is now 7 months later. So I think we need to monitor this for when we have that meeting with the Chief Justice. By then, it could be in a few months' time. And I think that is something we need to raise. This is a very important judgment which must be read with the draft bill that the judge also referred to. And yes, it would be good. Obviously, there's a process with bills, but I tend to agree with Mr. Dionti that we would be a first port of call when it comes to that as well to get our opinion. At the end of the day, it goes to Cabinet, but we have to pass that bill. Then can I just briefly ask the issue relating to natural deaths? I'm a bit concerned about that figure relating to natural causes other, 24 for Q4 and 21 for Q1. And I just need a bit of an explanation. But either they are natural deaths or they are unnatural deaths. What I need to establish is one assumes then that those natural causes other are sickness related and not due to any unnatural causes. Because it could be these are murders. It could be people are poisoned. So is Jigs satisfied that natural causes other do not refer to any issues relating to matters which would need investigation, given the vagueness of that concept? Secondly, Judge, you referred to parole, and equally there have been grave concerns expressed about parole and where it is appropriate and necessary, it is correct. The figures that were given, the updated figures, are interesting in as much as at 30 September, 12,756 considered, 9,239 released, 3,559 to be considered. Now, clearly, that report that was referred to, Mr. Self asked for that report. I think it would be good. But clearly, for us as public representatives, we would need to know what steps are taken to avoid re-offending by parolees. That's the critical part. Does Jigs at this stage know of any of those persons, those inmates that have been put on parole that have re-offended in this group in particular? Then, could I just ask about the explanation of the increase in violent acts Q4 and Q1, the figure 123 to 237. The indication from Jigs was that there would be a report and that most of those were in defense of other persons. There's a reference to Mangaun. We don't necessarily, that's a brief, maybe we can wait until you give us a full report on that issue. Chair, I think from my side, I would also like an indication of the updated figures on COVID-19. The sad deaths, 69 deaths of officials, 56 deaths of inmates. Is it possible to determine whether those are directly related to COVID or are they COVID-related? there's great uncertainty in medical science about that, but it is very sad, and we do indicate our condolences in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Iago.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think...
apologies, Honorable Wilmer. I hope you didn't forget me.
I do have a list. I do have a list, Honorable Trachans.
Thank you.
Honorable Iago.
Very much, Chair. I just want to reiterate the issue of infrastructure and overcrowding in prisons. Is there no way that the judicial system can enforce public works to do what they are supposed to do, which is to work on the infrastructure in prisons such that the system itself is not overburdened with the issue of overcrowding and other issues that they should not in fact be concerned with? That is not their responsibility. Secondly, I'm also worried about the unnatural deaths that were reported. And I'm wondering if perhaps if the department is secure in its measures on security within the prison system, in the corruption within the system itself, such that prisoners are unable to have access to contraband material, because it shouldn't be that a prisoner is able to commit suicide via hanging, is able to stab themselves, is able to do some of the things that they do. So that is my concern, and that is my submission. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nevoort Trachans.
Thank you very much, Chair. And thank you very much to Chix for the presentation that we received. And I would like to add my condolences to the deceased that have been mentioned today, my condolences to them and their families. There are two additional slides to this presentation that we do not have. And those are important slides because they are related to the COVID-19 numbers. So I would like please to receive the two additional slides that you showed on the screen but are not in in the email that we received, because I mean I have to look at the interpreter and the documents as well. So I would like to receive that to peruse that at a later time. And then Judge Cameron, in your introductory remarks, you referred to educational opportunities. You referred to educational opportunities. So, Judge, would you mind elaborating further on what you mean, why you said that there's a lack of educational opportunities? And as well, the inmates, you know, many will be writing matric, or at the end of the year will be writing matric. I'd like to know, will they be able, I mean, during the matric period, will they be able to write matric? Of course, it's been very difficult with lockdown and COVID, but I'd like to find out if they will also be able to write their matric exams. And Honorable Chair, maybe Jix will not be able to answer, but I would like to submit that assault by the officials on inmates. When we receive briefings about, you know, the different challenges and the disciplinary hearings that are conducted in DCS, we don't hear about assault by officials on inmates. So I would like to hear that if there are officials who commit assault on inmates, do they face disciplinary hearings or not? Or disciplinary action? Do they face disciplinary action? And also, I would like to add to what my colleagues have said previously about suicide, where it says suicide by hanging, where it says that in the report. So, you know, we know that the prison cells are overcrowded, many inmates in one cell. So how does the hanging happen then? Because, you know, that is something that has to be planned. to hang by suicide, and how would they be able to commit suicide with other inmates watching them? Or if this is done in public or in the view of other inmates, do they not report that? Do the other inmates not report that to officials? How does this take place with, we assume, witnesses? And then use of force and use of mechanical restraints and segregation. I would like to ask, in the numbers related to those categories, do you find them to be average, to be normal, or are they unusually high? And can you substantiate that? And then in terms of your disability, your employment equity with disability is incredibly low. And there are no females with disabilities. So I would really like to encourage chicks to look into that further and, yeah, to improve those statistics. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nipot Drachens. Honorable Jelle.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think mine is only one on page 17. We are being reported of the non-nationals. The heading says non-nationals. I wanted to find out if they are they referring to the people who are not South Africans or what? I'm not sure. Maybe I missed that one. Also, the totaling of those non-nationals is 16,000. Sentence is 800,127. If it is what I think it is, meaning the foreigners, does it mean our jails are full of these people, I don't know how to call them, the non-nationals, as I think they are, the foreigners, if I have to say it. I want to note, which is the number, the numbers as big as they are. Are these numbers more than the numbers of the South Africans in the jail? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Jelle. Over to you, Judge Cameron, and to your team.
Many thanks indeed, Mr. Magwanisa, Mr. Chair. There are a range of questions. Most of them concern penetrating operational aspects, for which we thank parliamentarians very, very sincerely for the attentiveness and responsiveness and the minuteness with which you've given your attention and your scrutiny. I'm going to ask Mr. Missa and our head of legal, Ms. Ngema Nhlanzi, and Mr. Leonard D'Souza, who's our head of investigations. We also have our acting regions manager, Ms. Hirika. And between those officials, Mr. Chair, we have an unparalleled accumulation of wisdom, experience, and practical insight into the various questions asked. With your permission, Mr. Chair, I will stand back. I will defer. There are some questions put directly to me, and I will wrap up at the end are seeking to address those.
Thank you very much, Judge Cameron.
Thank you, Honorable Judge. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members. I'm going to go through the list, starting off with the Honorable Horn on the inspections of the National Inspection Program, critical interventions, the core functions of the inspectors, etc. I'm going to park this one and I'm going to leave it for our esteemed colleagues who is the head of inspections and investigations, Leonard D'Souza, to answer this one for us, together with the ICCV issues. The issue of esteemed Honorable Member Mofokeng on the Eastern Cape in the department with the DPWI not assisting, I think that's the issue that we are currently housed in the Magistrates Court. We are utilizing that space in the interim, pending the finalization of us securing further office accommodation, which is aligned to government available space and IoT, which was also asked by another honourable member later on. So I think this aspect is being dealt with. Honourable Chair, we also dealt with this now when we were trying to secure accommodation for our Pretoria head office and the Northern Management Region. And when we approached the DPWI, they indicated to us that the state available properties that is available, not occupied, is derelict. And these buildings are absolutely out of its touch. It would require extensive lots of renovations, in fact, major renovations, in order to secure those spaces. So these are just the little hiccups that we do encounter from time to time with DPW going forward. The 20 unnatural deaths, the one specific which was mentioned about the medication overdose, is covered on our slide 7. I think that one I would leave for Leonard D'Souza to respond to, including the issues of the mechanisms to introduce with complaints given to DCS. The additional funding, Honourable Chair, this has been signed off. We requested for the shifting of some funds, specifically to move some of our current funds to accommodate the purchase, as I've indicated, of the procurement of the replacement of some of our state vehicles. The additional funding, we've requested specific funding from the National Commissioner on a phase-in approach, year one, year two, so that we could secure some funding to start what we call our own website, which is DIGS website. You are well aware, Honourable Chair, our website is buried inside DCS, and we find it very difficult to engage the community and the correctional environment via this platform. So that area is being attended to via the additional funding. The parole issue, whether they have been rearrested, this has also been asked later. I think it's an issue that we need to look at, especially those that reoffenders. We need to actually get these statistics from the Department of Correctional Services, analyze these statistics, and accordingly report to you when we have these statistics available. Declared state patients, Honourable Chair, Honourable Mofo King, they are declared. Once they are declared state patients, means they cannot be incarcerated, they are not offenders anymore. So they cannot be housed in places of confinement or incarceration. They've got to be removed to places of health institutions that can cater for them and accommodate them, medicate them, and obviously try to make them better. Specifically, the questions raised by Honourable South, the parole issues, I think that document is not a secret. That document would be made available. It's already been shared. It's already been shared through the parole process discussions, high-level discussions with DM. Honourable Chair, we will make this document available to the Secretariat of our PC. The mandatory statutory reporting malfunctions and dysfunction system, I've already alluded to this. It has been since 2016, the system has not been functioning, which is the MIS, the Management Information Systems of DCS, was not working. So heads of centers of 243 centers could not populate the daily information onto this live online system, which JIGS had access to. It collapsed. It died somewhere in 2016, before I even joined JIGS. So from 2018, February, we then approached the National Commissioner to issue what we call a manual directive to all heads of centers to start reporting manually to us in order for us to get the information that we require specifically on the Big Four, segregation, use of force, mechanical restraint, and deaths. So this is what's coming through incrementally. You could see it. I'm glad to announce, and you are aware, with the new e-correction system, I hope this area would be enhanced in terms of reporting. Honourable Chair, Honourable South. Increased violence, it has occurred during this period in COVID. I've reported accordingly. I've also indicated we've identified a hotspot. We actually summoned our inspectors, Mr. D'Souza himself, together with Madam Ngema, went to Mangaung on the 12th and 13th of August. They were also accepted by the regional commissioner of the Free State Northern Cape. They had a joint discussion on the thematic report of the use of violence. So this report is almost in final stages on the direction of the inspecting judge. This report would be released soon and be made available to all to look at the findings made and recommendations in that report. BC's Honorable South, the 30 versus 9 held on our page 15 of our presentation, you would find in the quarter report, we actually indicate the reason why it has been a deviation, and the reasons are being in those blocks there, which says that due to non-presence of some of the ICCVs at the respective DCs, those meetings could not be held. But what I can say upfront now, presently, is that we had a catch-up plan also with all the outstanding DCs, and all these DCs are also put up to date in terms of our outstanding DCs that should have taken place and that could not have been held during this period. Amongst other reasons, regional managers who chair these VC meetings were also occupied with other engagements and official business like investigations and other matters, official business. The matter on reporting of understanding vacancies not filled, I think it is a recurring issue. People exit organizations, but the main reason here is the ICCV program, the re-engineered program of the ICCV, migrating them from the old system to the new system. This is one of the areas that have been impacted tremendously, and therefore you'll find the underspending. There were four positions, of which the director's post, two director positions, were vacant for a lengthy time. Are you well aware of this? Where it was reported last year, we had to hold on to one position because of challenges of filling that post. Some time has lapsed, over 9 months went by before we could fill this position. So yes, Honorable Chair, Honorable Kula, this was the reasons for the underspending in those areas. The misconduct cases, I think that's contained on our report, quarter one, where it's indicated that an official, an ICCV was implicated. Yes, it's on page 33 of our report. Here you find one ICCV allegedly smuggling contrabands. It was, I think, some cigarettes that were smuggled into the center in this lockdown period when there was a restriction on tobacco products. This ICCV is currently before a disciplinary hearing, chaired by our Northern Management Region, Mr. Mentor, who's chairing this disciplinary hearing. The other matter is also a matter that's before a tribunal. The one of the permanent staff, this official who damaged the state vehicle, he's already been sanctioned. He has received a 2 month, as I speak to you, 2 month suspension without salary. So all these matters of discipline are being taken care of, Honorable Chair. And maybe the matters of the disgruntled staff last year, you're well aware of, you would see that matter is also captured beautifully in our new report, our annual report, which deals with that partition issue, if you recall, Honorable Chair. The continuing leasing of properties is too costly. I've addressed the issue. Use of government properties, I think, yes, it's noted. That is our goal. We need to use all state resources first, exhaust that, and then ensure going out further. Complaints by JIGS, DCS personnel giving proper reports. I must record, Honorable Chair, and maybe through the Honorable Judge, the relationship between the department and JIGS has enhanced. There is an amicable professional working relationship. The National Commissioner is very supportive, coupled with that of the Deputy Minister and supported by the Minister. At no instance from the time of the inspecting judge present, which took office on the 1st of January, we had no challenges thus far. We do have some differences, but these differences are professional differences, and it's based on our work and our findings, and that is what's contained in our reports, and that is how it is going to be. They might not like us for that, but we're not here to be liked, Honorable Chair. I think you know that. Let's move to Honorable Swart, the Constitutional Court matter. Yes, I think Judge has covered this. We are anxiously awaiting this. We hope to have it. But maybe I should add, we have already picked our draft bill. Our Director of Legal Services, Madam Ngema, is already busy engaging on the back end with all our stakeholders to try and get to sell the product so that we can get the feel and taste of this draft bill, so that we can get everybody onto the same page before we get to you, Honorable Chair, through our ministry. When we send it through you, we just dot the I's and cross the T's. And then it will be a road that we can just hold our hands and walk together. So yes, there is some work being dealt with on the back end, but that is being held more especially because of the Concord's decision. Natural deaths, page 8 of the slides. Honorable Chair, here you'll find where Honorable Swartz have requested us to look at what is natural, why are they identified as and captured as natural causes other, whilst you find always a difference between JIG statistics versus DCS, specifically in this competency. The reason being is that JIG identifies it as unnatural. If it is unnatural, it's unnatural, it must be investigated. We investigate all deaths in centers. All deaths are investigated by JIGS because we need to ascertain how, we need to account for the death of that inmate. How did he die? So therefore, you would find a distortion or a deviation in the statistics captured from JIGS versus that of DCS. Maybe I must add, they wait for an autopsy report before they classify that death as unnatural or whether they classify the person as a heart attack. Now, Honorable Chair, Honorable Swart, we don't do it like that. If that person's autopsy, if at the time of the death they cannot certify the person dead, it is already classified to us in what we've known as unknown causes. You'll find that on our page 7 of our slides. So this is how JIGS deals with this. Until the post-mortem autopsy reports are received, we then deal with it accordingly. The parole update figures, you've alluded to it. Yes, Mr. D'Souza will talk about that and also release the report as you've requested. Re-offending inmates, I think DCS would be in a better position to give us the stats. I've already spoken to you about that. The infrastructure issue on overcrowding, DPWI, working on infrastructure. Maybe I should add, the Honorable Judge is in possession of an infrastructure report on facilities, and I'm sure he's evaluating this, and in good time he will deal with it accordingly and announce the findings of that report accordingly. Corruption within the system, this matter is an ongoing matter. This matter has been dealt with Honorable Chair, Honorable Yaku, in our business case. We do not have a fully fledged functional unit to deal with forensic investigation, but we've covered this now in our business case to expand our investigative unit to deal with this and also to build in capacity with synergizing our working relationship with SIU, with that of the National Director of Public Prosecutions, and also with South African Police Services, including the judge of the DPCI, Fox. Honorable Nivo, slide 2, not contained in quarter 1. Honorable Nivo, those two slides are actually contained in our annual report. It's on page 31, but we will resubmit our refreshed, updated slides with inclusive of those two slides. The issues of the educational opportunities, the issue of has been dealt with by a judge. Females with disabilities, thank you for ringing the bell. I will go and look at specifically our employment equity plan and revisit those issues and build in capacity on targeting specifically officials with disabilities to enhance our statistics. Honorable Jele, the non-nationals, I think these are actually what you would call foreigners in our incarcerated system. There is a lot of them. You spoke about the 16,000, 13,000. The current statistics is approximately 154,000 inmates that are currently incarcerated. So if one has to take out 16,000 from there, Honorable Chair, we are getting to actually what our official bed space is within correctional environments. So I would stop here. I would humbly, through you, Honorable Chair, and our Honorable Judge, request Madam Ngema or my learned colleague, Leonard D'Souza, to add if need be. Thank you.
Yes, please, Ms. Ngema and Mr. D'Souza, and also Ms. Hirika, our acting regions manager. Between them, they will have answers to the bulk of the remaining queries that your members raised, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, IJ. Good afternoon, Chair, honorable members and colleagues. I'm going to take a question on whether we do make a report.
Sorry, Ms. Ngema, since you are new, can we see your face for a minute and then you can switch off?
Well, Chambi, she was sleeping, you never know. So.
No, I was not sleeping.
Welcome, Ms. Ngema, congratulations on your new appointment.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good afternoon, members and colleagues. I said I was going to take a question on whether we make appointments when we're going to do inspections and what is it that is deemed to be a critical intervention. I would say that before we go to a correctional facility, we do notify them, but it's a short notice. It may be a 24-hour or 48 hours, because there is a form that we send that needs to be completed by the head of the correctional center, so they will know that we are coming on that day. But it is a short notice that one cannot be able to do measure ameliorities on the center before we come. So what is it that we deemed as a critical intervention will be when the conditions in the correctional center are derogatory to human dignity. Say there is no water, there are no lights in the cells, the food is not in an acceptable manner, and maybe there are no blankets. So that will require a critical intervention immediately. And also the physical structure, we do look at it. If it's in a state that it poses danger on both inmates and officials, that will require an intervention. But when we send a report after the inspection, we do notify the head of center what is it that they need to attend to on that level of the head of correctional center. So when our report says there was no critical intervention needed, it is because what we had found in that center would mean that the head of correctional center is in a position to rectify those things that were identified. I will pause there and let my colleague Leonard, the head of inspections, take this further. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Inspecting Judge, Honorable Chair and members. I will go down the list, all the notes that I made. The first one is the question on medication overdose. Yes, we did investigate both of them, and it was reported as an overdose, but during our investigations, we found that it was, in fact, a suicide. In assaults by officials on inmates, there are lots and lots of assaults, but sometimes it depends on case by case. But during our investigations, we do recommend disciplinary action sometimes, and we are also monitoring that DCS are also investigating their own officials, and then if necessary, they will institute those disciplinary action. Then maybe just the one on natural other. A natural other is again, it's the it's the pathologist who says that this was a case, that this death was natural others. And it is usually in the case of terminally ill people who are known to be very seriously ill. So when it's unnatural other, it is usually a person who is healthy, who seems to be healthy, who just suddenly die. And then we do investigate because we want to know if it's maybe a poison or something else. Then the question on suicide and the methods of suicide. It's very easy to conduct suicide. You can use your clothing or your bedding. So it's not contraband. It's usually hanging by anything. You can use your belt, anything like that. And it's either in a single cell or usually very early in the morning, like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning when everybody sleeps, then the person would hang themselves in the shower area. So that is why the people who share the cell are all asleep, so they don't hear about it. I don't know if I've left anything out, but that's it for me so far. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, we are anxious that we shouldn't be inattentive to any of your members' queries. So if we've left out something, we would welcome being reminded on that. I would like to do what we say in Afrikaans, goeie klip in die bos. Mr. Mketwa, I think, is here. We also have very useful memos from the two chairpersons of the parole committees who were in the meetings with Mr. Lucky Mketwa and Deputy Minister Holomisa and Jix. We may invite you, Mr. Chair, to ask DCS for those very useful memos as well, because they really set out the practical difficulties. Mr. D'Souza and Ms. Ngema's memo does a great deal of that. Then Ms. Yoliswa Yako asked a very interesting question, and I wonder if she's a lawyer. Forgive me for not knowing your background at this point, Honorable Yako, because she asked whether the judiciary can get the DPW to do its work. And that's a complicated question. We really want officials to do what they paid to do and to make their departments function. And we know that that is an objective of this committee as well. You can go to court to get a mandamus to tell a department to do what it ought to do. And some NGOs have done that. Equal Education has done that on the school books. Your members will know. But it's a very interesting question that Ms. Yako has raised. Ms. Nomathemba Jele asked the question of whether the matric is being written. Maybe get back to you on that, Mr. Chair. We'll find out from Mr. Mketwa, who is here this afternoon. We are in touch with Mr. Mketwa's education officers quite regularly, and we will get you an answer on whether the matric is being written. And then lastly, Mr. Swart has promised in public on a recording that he will tackle the Chief Justice about the judgment delay. Mr. Swart, please take your armor with you. I don't want to be present to see what happens.
No, thank you very much, Judge.
Chair, that was with the committee. Remember, I'm not going alone.
No, thank you very much, Judge. We will be dealing with your legacy there. Honorable members, is there any member who wants to make a follow-up or whose question has not been answered?
Mr. Chair, I think there was also, it was Mr. Swart who asked for an update on parole. It was either him or Ms. Yako. Can we also provide that in writing to you for distribution to your members on COVID? The update on the COVID figures. Those were the slides. We will provide you with the slides. And if there's anything to add to what we are saying on the slides, we will provide you and Mr. Dante with that.
Thank you very much. At this stage, I will now hand over to the chair of the subcommittee, Honorable Janji, to make comments and way forward.
No, thank you very much, Chair, and thank you to Jix and the inspecting judge and the members. Maybe just before I raise a few way forward issues, Chair, there's something I want to ask directly from the inspecting judge, Justice Cameron. And I don't want you to give me the details on this issue, but it's an issue that is out there. So you just perhaps, if there's a process in this, confirm that. So I just want to ask this very direct question, Inspecting Judge, because I couldn't find that in the presentation, and maybe I understand there's a reason why. And here's the issue. Do you have any allegation that some inmates are used as hitmen? Inmates are used as hitmen. Do you have such an allegation without going to any details? And if you have, is that allegation being attended to? I really want you to just quickly respond to that before I go to the way forward.
Mr. Janji always makes certain, Mr. Chair, that we get an easy time from this committee. Mr. Janji, the answer is no. My two executive officials, Ms. Ngema and Mr. D'Souza, went down to take a statement from someone who was party, he claimed, to overhearing arrangements for a hit. But the allegation that any inmates are used as hitmen was not part of the claims. Thank you, Mr. Danke, and I hope that's the hardest time you're planning to give us this time.
Yeah,
you hold us over the coals for various aspects, but if that's the hardest question, then we're grateful.
No. Thank you very much. I think to put that
Honorable Danke, because you are the last speaker, can you just hold on a bit? Honorable Breitenbach, I think that will be the last question before Honorable Janji summarizes.
I thought we'd finish with question. Who's getting provoked now?
It's Honorable Breitenbach.
Okay. Go ahead, Honorable Breitenbach.
I don't have a question, Mr. Chair. I just want to make a comment. I reported two matters to the inspecting judge, and I want to say thank you to Jix for acting on them almost immediately and providing very, very comprehensive feedback as the matters went along. And they were really very effective and enabled me to report back to the concerned family members. So I'm just very grateful for that, and I wanted to say thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Breitenbach.
Mr. Chair, may I say that your staff has my cell phone number, and every single one of your members, if you receive a complaint from a member of your constituency or of the public or of your structures, you are most welcome to do it. And I want to express my appreciation to Honorable Member Breitenbach for her comment.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Honorable Janji.
Thank you very much, Chair. There's just a few issues on the way forward, colleagues. I think the first one that I must be noted that we must do, because if you listen to the presentation by Jix in terms of the fourth quarter and as well as quarter one, it's very clear, Inspecting Judge, that I'm going to ask that we're going to need to do a Jix recovery plan, because with this trend, you are unlikely to meet, because we're already now October, we're left with a few months. So because of the COVID off-ramp, certain targets could not be met. And there's quite a lot of those. And so I will be looking for that, so that when we meet, the subcommittee, you prepare with your team a recovery plan in terms of how are you going to go about meeting some of these targets. And other recovery plan might even be saying that we think that given this, it's not possible to do this, or we're going to do it in this way. So that's the very first point I want to raise. Otherwise, with this trend, when we get to quarter two, quarter three, you'll be far off from your own kind of targets. That's the first point, Chair. The second one is there's certainly a need for the CEO that we need to have better clarity on this. There's quite a high number of what you call unknown cases. Those would need to be properly clarified and explained, because in an environment where this is increasing, we can't continue having an increase unknown as to what's the cause of death for this, what's the and so on. So we're going to have to clarify that much better than how we're doing now. I think we also, if I take your first point up front, Inspecting Judge, and as well as a comment by Honorable Swart, as well as the Chair, this issue of us having a conversation with the CJ, was there's a standing issue with as a committee that we need to have that conversation. But also with your Assistant Inspecting Judge on this issue, we are going to need to have a conversation on this prolonged reserved judgment. If you remember on the 21st of February, when we met, the last meeting before COVID with the subcommittee, you know, there was this enthusiasm from the CEO. It was almost like the next week or 2 weeks, things are going to happen. We are in October now. Things have not happened. And far beyond the 6 months, again, you're likely to get COVID as a particular excuse in this. And I don't know how much that it can be an excuse onto this. So I think between the committee and also with your support, we might need to engage on this issue. But as a committee, we are going to go beyond the specific issue with the correctional services, just generally, the kind of timelines and so on, without encroaching onto another space, basically. I think there's also the issue of attending to this sensitive issue, I think raised by Maseko Jele. We've raised it before, and the Deputy Minister responded in saying, in fact, this issue, this is an issue of the transfer of prisoners, change of prisoners from our country and neighboring states and other countries. Because if I remember well, the DM was saying there's a lot of work that needs to be done there. And some of the problems there include that, in fact, what we are providing in our correctional services makes people not to want to go anywhere else. Because it's better to be in our correctional services than to be in a correctional service, say, a prisoner in Zimbabwe and so on. So there's that issue that Nomaseko Jele was raising about the 8,000 foreign nationals who are inmates and so on. And I must just say to her, perhaps that the answer about whether this is the biggest number between local and foreign nationals, she will remember that we have over 162 and divided between remand and incarceration. So there are a lot of thousands of, but even if you were to go to countries like Brazil and other countries, you know, Hong Kong, we've got, as a country, we've got thousands people who are in foreign land and in prisoner. So it's an issue that I think needs a different kind of platform. But Chair, I thought given the kind of good discussion and engagement with the members and the presentation by JICS, those are the few things that we are going to be interested in as a subcommittee to kind of follow on and check if they are happening. So thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair of the subcommittee, and thank you to the judge and to your team. We are particularly happy that there is a good working relationship with the department. Hopefully that is sustained until your term comes to an end and it goes beyond that. Thank you very much. The subcommittee is keeping you in check. That is good. That is very good. No, thank you very much, Judge, and thank you to your team. We hope to see you soon. Thank you, honorable members, and to everybody who has been in attendance for visiting us. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, honorable
Chair. Thank you.
Thank you.